hoping that you understand. You ain't the man to tell you in demand. Just pray to God we keep you in the plan. You ain't the man to tell you in it.
Hey there, welcome to Time Out with Ty, episode 65. I'm here this week to talk about James Harden, who my guest this week, Kofi Yeboah, I hope I said that as good as I did before the show, believes.
Yeah, you did fine.
For some reason, like before I checked, I did my research today, and I'm just completely interrupting my own introduction, but whatever. I think this is a worthy aside. I was like hoping in my heart of hearts that for some reason it was pronounced Kofi, like, yeah, boy. I don't know why, but just like one of my favorite Twitter people to interact with. I was like, if it was Kofi, yeah, boy, that'd be pretty dope. But Yeboah is definitely good too. I don't mean to talk trash on your last name in the first minute here.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's like not, that's not the, my name is so different, especially in the States. What people don't, my dad's from Ghana, so I'm half Ghanaian, and in Ghana, Kofi means like John. It's like as common as like the word John or Steve or yeah. Adam. It means boy born on Friday. But then when I came over here, you know, I'm in the States growing up. You get coffee, Ko-Fi. You have to. It's like weird because you have to go to like certain restaurants and like you know where you have to like say what your name is. Sometimes I go like Cody or Corey because I don't want I've been called embarrassing names. Like I was at like a Bobby's Burgers and I remember ordering some food and I sat down and I heard the waitress go Katie and I was like
no.
I was like, all right, that's cool. And she like looked around and she looked like right at me and she's like, you're Katie, right? And I was like, no.
No, not even close.
Not even close. And I was like, you know what, that's probably the last time I'm gonna use my actual name in like those kind of restaurants.
But, well, that's until you're famous. Once you're famous enough, people have to know it then.
But people say like, oh, like Kofi Kingston, and I'm like, all right, close enough. Like, that's fine.
At least they got the pronunciation right.
Kofi Kingston has worked wonders for people pronouncing my name. I really thank him for that.
It's been beneficial. Before we really get rolling, I should share, we've almost sort of met before. I promise this isn't as stalkerish as it sounds from the jump.
No, it's cool.
do you remember the ACP Collegiate Press Conference in DC like this past November, I want to say?
Oh yeah, when we had that the undefeated panel thing?
Yes, I was there. I was in the crowd. Oh, it was awesome.
Were you in the meeting? The panel that we did? Yeah, that was a while. I'm no longer there, but
right, you moved over. Should we talk about this?
I mean, it's not. There's nothing really much to talk about. It's just that I just felt that SB Nation was a better fit for me in terms of like my talent. That was basically it. I mean, I love the undefeated family. I love Kevin. Leaving Kevin was one of the hardest things to do, but I just felt that in my heart of hearts that it was time to make the switch. So it was one of the toughest decisions I've ever made in my life, but that's just how it is. No bad blood. I still love everyone that's over there, and I root for it to succeed. And just that I looked at where I wanted to be and what I can do, and it felt like SB Nation was a better fit. So it was hard to leave, but I'm fine with the transition.
I got you. I wasn't trying to start beef or anything. This is my most Woj moment ever. Like Woj is always like my favorite thing about the Woj podcast is every time he'll be like, you know, you're waiting for him to ask about like a finals or something, and he'll be like, back when you were in 11th grade, you played with a guy named Bobby McMinnon or something. And like, how does he know this? I don't know. That was the closest I've ever come. I don't know who you played with in 11th grade.
Well, Woj knows everything.
He really does.
He really is. He's like, you know, X-Men where he puts like the Professor X puts on the helmet. That's how I think that he gets his sources. He puts on the helmet and he like hears like front office people like whispering certain things. And Woj just like, all right, now I'm going to tweet about it.
All right. Now I know what's coming.
Yeah.
Okay. So back now that we've covered all these things, I think this is a good. I like how we started this. But like I said earlier, James Harden and the Rockets. James Harden is someone. If you don't follow Kofi, you're really missing out. But you often tweet that he is the best point guard in the NBA, which is controversial on a few different levels. The first one being the whole, what is a point guard? He's not a point guard. He is a point guard. He's been a shooting guard, blah, 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 blah. The second being, hey, there's Stephen Curry, two-time, I believe, undisputed MVP. There's Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double. How can your mans be first? So I don't necessarily disagree, and we'll get to what I think. But first, why is James Harden the best point guard in the NBA?
I usually just say that just to watch Russell Westbrook fans and Steph Curry fans, like, watch them, like, freak out. But it's funny because, like, I love the direction the NBA is taking in the terms of, like, what's a point guard? Because, you know, when you grew up playing basketball, like, back even, like, when you grew up, like, when I played in middle school, like, some 8-9 years ago, God, I'm getting older. It was like, oh, the shortest guy in the starting lineup handles the ball, is in charge of, like, all the passing, calls all the plays and all of that. And I just like rooting for James Harden because it's like, it's not conventional, you know? He's like a very good scorer, but he also likes to pass the ball. Like, people are like, I'm in between, like, a casual fan and then someone that, like, looks at stats. I'm not, like, a stat analytic heavy person, but I know some things. And I know that James Harden has shown, like, passing, like, the willingness to pass, like, basically for most of his career. I mean, when he was in the Thunder, he played in the second unit, and he was in charge of initiating some of the offense in the second unit. So when he went to Houston, I mean, he was in charge of initiating offense there. I really don't use the word, like, point guard anymore. I use, like, initiator, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Giannis is not a point guard, but he is in charge of distributing, getting everybody involved, and a whole lot more for the Bucks. But when I get back to James Harden, it's just that now that I'm glad that D'Antoni has come and help them out. I don't know. This is just magical what the Rockets are doing. I mean, it's James Harden. He's just a very, very good passer. And I think that I'm glad that the league, people that are watching the NBA now and, like, even casual fans are, like, getting a glimpse of just how good James Harden has been passing-wise over the last couple of years. So while him being the best point guard is never really going to be, like, proven, I just like saying that to constantly remind people that, hey, he's a passer. He can pass. Like, he's very good at it.
Yeah, this is, I mean, if there was ever a year to say James Harden is the best at anything in his career thus far, it's been this year. He's been phenomenal. I won't go deep in any stats here. It's going to be nice for me to not have to go into the numbers. It's nice to sometimes not worry about numbers. Here's an easy one, though. He leads the league in assists. Like, he gets more than anybody, including Russell Westbrook, including Stephen Curry, who never really gets that many. But it's like 11.4 per game, which is just a ton. That's like peak Rondo stuff, except peak Rondo could never do the things James Harden can do with the rest of his offensive game. He's so strong. That's one of the things that sets him apart from me.
Oh, my
like,
God.
I remember the year the Warriors won the title, I think he should have been MVP that year. And there was everyone, the biggest case against him besides defense was that, oh, he's a flopper. And I was like, you watch these games, and he flops sometimes, yes, everyone does. But a lot of the time, it's like, what are they going to do if they don't foul him? It's not like he just, like, chucks up the ball. Like, he's going to the rim, and they stop him. There's not much else you can do. He certainly uses foul calls to his advantage. I'm not saying James Harden's out here, like, trying to avoid getting fouled. He'll take the foul shots. He knows how efficient they are. But it's not like, you know, I think Zach Lowe said it best on the last Low Post. If everybody could do it, everybody would. It's not like he's just doing something, and if Russ wanted to, he could do the exact same thing. Russ is a bad example because he's great. But it's not like anyone could do the exact same thing. Like, he's really strong. And the whole positional thing, I think, is hilarious because he is listed as their point guard. He runs the offense. Yep. When they played the Bucks, he guarded Jabari Parker. So was he a power forward? Was he a point guard? Was he in between? Like, what? I don't know how you describe that. That's a ridiculous, like, playing the one on offense, playing the four on defense, maybe the three. Who knows how the Bucks quantify their positions even. It's so complicated these days.
It's such a special time for the league as a whole. And I want to talk, I mean, James Harden, his strength, people really take for granted. I mean, I feel like they take the NBA, people take the NBA as a whole in terms of how much contact they take, like on a night in, night out basis. You know how you go play pickup and you go play with your friends and you're all like beat up and bruised, but because like basketball, you get roughed up if you keep driving to the basket. Like if you get hit on the floor, and they had to do this for about 82 games, and James Harden always plays a lot of minutes, and it takes a physical. Yeah,
he's leading the NBA in minutes thus far. Just to add to your point there.
Right, yeah, and I mean, he takes just a physical toll contact-wise, and he's able to, like, keep drawing contact. Like, the fact that he's able to draw contact with, like, the kind of Euro, I mean, he's not, like, an above-the-rim, like, well, he's not, like, jumping out of the gym like Russell Westbrook is. James Harden's kind of lower to the basket. He can rise up when he wants to, but he's kind of a little lower to the basket, and he uses his, like, superb body control to guard, to draw those fouls, and one thing I read a lot is when people go, oh, James Harden's like he's boring to watch, and I'm like, no, this is fun.
Yeah, this is great.
This is fun basketball to watch. I'm a Pistons fan and I love watching the Rockets more than the Pistons over the last couple of yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a Rockets fan. I just like watching the team. And I think that it's like gone to like his supporting cast and the changes that the supporting cast has made. And there's an excellent article by Christian Winfield of SB Nation, my now colleague, is that I mean the spot plug, but it was just an interesting article that I saw, in that the Rockets are taking like these really, really deep threes, like not like at the line, but they're taking really deep threes to stretch the defense even more. Like normal defenses would be able to take it if they were at the 3-point line, but now they're stretched a little bit farther, and James Harden has been able to dominate the free space, and now he has more shooting to add, and they're really, really hard to guard. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean they took what the Warriors did in 2014-15, the year they won the title, which is for me like, this team reminds me of that team, and that it was just so much different than what we'd seen previously. And obviously, this looks more like that team. It's not unprecedented anymore. But they just basically took what that team did and said, let's just do this more. They have four players taking more threes per game than twos, including Trevor Ariza, who takes more than double the amount of three-pointers that he does two-pointers. Like, Trevor Ariza does not care about two-point shots anymore.
Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild?
It's insane. I want to see what they average real quick. Exactly 40 threes taken per game.
That's absolutely crazy. Like, I've never – I can't imagine – and this is like – I've been able to expand my way of thinking in terms of NBA, in terms of like the current change. And I think the Warriors kind of helped that. And like, hey, a three is worth more points than a two. And if you're able to shoot threes at a very, very efficient level, why not shoot more of them? But like – it's just a hard thought process to ingrain into your brain, you know, over time, you know. It's just like, man, like people are taking like way more threes than twos, you know, and the Ariza stat blows my mind, because you wouldn't, as a casual fan, would think that, oh, he's not that much of a shooter. But hey, James Harden's being able to create a lot of open shots for Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and they're not hesitant to shoot them. Like, D'Antoni's encouraging them to just shoot at will, and it's absolutely crazy.
No, it's – I mean, everyone thought that Warriors team was off the rails, right? They had no players who took more threes than twos. Like, Steph and Klay that year they won the title both took more twos than threes, even with all the threes they made. This Rockets team is ridiculous. Like, there's no precedent. Harden takes less than 1-2 more than threes right now, because he goes inside so often. But you look at like just what this team is doing. I mean, this is a franchise that from like the top to the bottom now is a completely 1,000% on the exact same page. Like, there's no doubt what they're going to do. They do it every single night. The only team with more total wins right now than them is the Warriors. They're tied with the Spurs. They have more losses than the Spurs. But they've been so good just because, like, it feels to me when you watch this team play, like, they all completely understand. And no one is like, maybe we shouldn't do this. They're all like, no, Leah, let's do this. I think that should be credit to Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, who I'll be the first to say it. I thought, like, the Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon signings, I was like, what are you thinking? Like, how is that going to work? Like, these guys, you know, they're fine. They're shooters, I guess. In this D'Antoni system, it just makes perfect sense. Like, hats off to Daryl Morey.
And when I watch the Rockets like first quarters, usually like Ryan Anderson is chucking them.
He's good. Like, he's really good.
He's good. He is launching them. Like, I'm like, whoa. Like, the conventional basketball like mind to me is like, wow, what is he do? But no, he's like trying to find a rhythm, and it's like amazing that Anderson and Gordon, I mean, Gordon's had like injury problems over the years. It's good to see him like finally, like, I think, find a role that's like just best for him, and like in supporting James Harden. And I like this team way better than I liked last year's Rockets team. I still watched the Rockets team last year, you know. And when Dwight left, I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen to this team. And like, whoa, how good is Clint Capela? And I like watching Clint Capela. He's a hustler, runs the floor. Like, I'm so like interested in watching Clint Capela play that I was like emotionally torn when he got that injury, and he was out for a couple of weeks. I was like, no, what's going to happen? But they've been doing fine. So.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Montrell. I don't think the Z is pronounced. I'm not positive.
Montrez? I think it's Montrez.
Oh, it's Montrez. You're right. The L is not pronounced.
I want to say Montrez because I think I watched him play in North Carolina. Okay. So for those of you that don't know, I watch way more high school basketball highlights and clips than college basketball, and that the fact is that I grew up in North Carolina, and my high school, Ryan Kelly went to my high school. Ryan Kelly went to my high school, and then my friend Isaac Copeland, who played at Georgetown, now transferred to Nebraska, and then we had basically, what I'm saying is, I didn't make the high school basketball team, but we were just huge fans of like of North Carolina basketball. So there's this thing called the Carolina Challenge. Well, it used to be called the Carolina Challenge, and it was run by a guy named Dave Tellup, who I think works for the Spurs organization now. And it was like a convening of like the 80 top basketball players in North Carolina. So I would get to see Kennedy, and I like was the PA for that event. Ooh. In my high school, because this was like I've been wanting to get into like sports journalism since my seventh grade. So I was like, hey, can I do this? And they're like, sure. Weird high school kid.
You were on it though. That's good.
Yeah. And then, so I got to see the likes of, I think it was Kennedy Meeks. I can't really remember like all the names, but I mean, Des Wells, who went to Maryland, I think was in the Carolina Challenge. And I think Montrez, I'm going off on a wild tangent, but I think Montrezl Harrell was there. I want to say that. I'll look it up later.
He's somehow come in and shooting a better percentage from the field than Clint Capela is, which is just ridiculous. Speaking of high school, this is actually a nice little way for me to share some things. I went to Dominican, which is a high school right outside of Milwaukee. Technically in Milwaukee, I think, but not really. Right now, I think most known for Diamond Stone going there, who just showed out today in the D League showcase. And I don't know if we should talk too much Diamond Stone considering his not great tenure with the Terps.
I didn't think it was that bad. It's just that Maryland basketball fans have too high expectations going in. So. And you can be like, well, he was a McDonald's All-American, and people just like said that all the time. And I didn't mind him being here. You got to crack your jokes off, but I wish him the best in the league. And I think I didn't think he was ready for the league like going when he left. But I mean, you know, you can always develop in 3 years. Might be on an NBA roster.
I think he's got to fill out a bit. He's got to add some things to his game. I still believe in Diamond Stone. I'll forever be a Diamond Stone fan. But the other thing is, this is actually a Rockets tie. I'm bringing it all the way back. Going to watch, I think Diamond Stone was in this game. When you go to State and Madison, basically, like, if you get there a little early, and sometimes you can catch the game right before yours.
Right.
And Sam Decker, who I believe went to Sheboygan Lutheran. I'm pretty sure it was Sheboygan Lutheran High School. His final high school game before he would play in that exact same arena as a Badger was absolutely insane. Like, I forget what the number was, but they were down by, like, a not insignificant margin late, and he just took over the game. And Dominican was, like, right behind the Sheboygan Lutheran fan section for that game, so we automatically were rooting for them, and it was just crazy to watch. So mm-hmm. I saw Sam Decker's final game, and he tore it up. Watched him throughout college, obviously, with his Wisconsin connection. And this dude's showing out on the Rockets right now. I'm a fan of Sam Decker. I'm also a fan of I love role players always. Nene is balling. When Nene is on the court, the Rockets allow less than 100 points per 100 possessions, which is just insane considering how fast they play and the lack of defense you just figured this team would have. I'm a big fan of Sam Decker and Nene right now.
And, like, this team is not that old. Like, no. Capella's 22. Decker's 22, and Nene's the oldest, obviously, at 88 years old in NBA years. Now he's 34. Shouts out to Nene. I remember playing with him. I had this NBA Live game on my flip phone back in middle school.
Oh,
so
wow.
I used to play with him when he was on the Nuggets. So, random throwback.
I like that.
Yeah. And, Harden's only 27. I mean, it's looking up for the Rockets, I think. I mean, you know, a couple of years at the... I mean, as long as Harden's at the helm, I think that anything besides the Warriors, of course, still will get in their way. But
well, here's the question, then. Something Daryl Morey has always thought about from, like, listening to podcasts with him, listening to people talk about him, is that you need stars to win in the NBA, right? Like, that's the whole point. You get the stars, you can win. That's what getting Dwight Howard was, is an attempt to get a star player to go with James Harden. Right now, should the Rockets still be focused on finding another star? Or should they just sort of let things keep going? Because, I mean, there's no guarantee that this system runs as smoothly if you take out a couple of these guys who are entirely bought in and throw in someone else, whether it be, I don't know, Carmelo Anthony or whoever would be out there.
I just don't think that, I mean, because every deal can look good on paper, but I feel like if you're this good already, that you shouldn't really, like, there's no reason to just, like, tear it down and, like, try to even make it, like, even better. Like, I don't see the reason why it would look, I mean, you're doing so well right now. I mean, and you gotta take advantage of the fact that, like, hey, we're doing, like, better than we expected, like, this year, and this is a good system. D'Antoni likes it. James Harden's, like, doing way better than even he thought, I think, that he thought he could possibly do as the new point guard. So, I mean, I don't see why you would want to try to change this, especially midseason.
Right. I mean, the thing is, I feel like a lot of people will kind of be thinking right now, couldn't the Warriors have said the same thing about Kevin Durant? I think the difference is, if there was a perfect player to slot in with Steph, Klay, and Draymond, it was Kevin Durant. I don't know who that player would be for the Rockets. You look at the guys who always get talked about, whether they'll actually get traded or not. It's like DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, Boogie's great, and he can shoot too, but we tried pairing Harden with a big center and Dwight, and it didn't really work. Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Carmelo doesn't really like playing the four. Putting him at three here would be weird. He's not the kind of shooter that these guys are. I don't see a fit where you go, oh yeah, that would work perfectly for this team.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like a definite, like, hey, you guys should get insert player here, and then no, I think that there's more of a gray area in terms of who that other star would be, and I think you're absolutely correct.
Do you want to play a quick game?
Sure, yeah.
Do you know about Basketball Reference's nickname section?
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous. No. It's ridiculous. They have nicknames that are never before heard of oftentimes. So here's two examples. One that has been heard of. For James Harden, they have listed the beard. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For Brandon Jennings, the pterodactyl. I have no idea why, but that's what they have
why?
On there. The pterodactyl. So here's the game. We're talking Rockets. So I think,
all right.
Like, if we did Pistons, I feel like you'd have more of, like, a shot. You might know a little more.
Yeah, I would know a little bit more of
these are the Rockets' Basketball Reference nicknames. And there is another one for Harden that I'm going to do. I'm gonna start out with a couple easy ones and then get to like just the ones where you're like, how?
All right, I'm probably gonna mess up on all of these, but
okay. I think you'll get first up, Sammy D. I think you can.
Oh, Sam Decker.
Yeah, that's an all easy one.
All right, easy, and it's like for 200, Alex.
Yeah. There's the 200. Here's for 400. These are all just ridiculous, actually. Now, Mr. 94 Feet.
Is that Patrick Beverly?
That is Patrick Beverly. It's on his Twitter. It's on his Twitter page. So he.
Oh, I'm looking at
something to do with this one.
I'm looking at the roster right now. I'm not looking at the nicknames. I'm looking at the roster, and I was like, all right, 94 feet. That has to be like a defensive thing. And I was like,
oh, I bet it is. Okay.
I was like, what person would take pride in playing full court defense on this team? Like it has to be.
It's got to be Patch. That's the only one who takes pride in any defense. That's a free shot right there.
Yeah, that was. I mean, the deductive reasoning, if you think about it for a little bit, it got a little bit easier to narrow it down. It's like 50-50.
Yeah, you're 2 for 2 so far. I'm proud of you.
All goes downhill from here.
El Chapo. We got El Chapo up next.
I'm sorry, what?
El Chapo. Boy. That's listed.
I'm going to just guess Corey Brewer.
No, it's James Harden, apparently, is known as El Chapo. I've never seen James Harden referred to as El Chapo.
Nope, never have.
Some of these are very violent, and I'm not sure why. Switchblade.
KJ McDaniels.
No, I like that guess. Trevor Ariza is Switchblade.
I need backstories for these two.
I really like. I kind of want to. Like,
are there backstories? No.
No, they're not listed. I might email like whoever is behind Basketball Reference. Like, where are you getting these? Like,
dear Trevor Ariza, why are you nicknamed Switchblade? And how long is this story? I have time. I have time for this.
I certainly have. I would have time for that too. This one's kind of mean. The Hobbit.
Doesn't have to be someone short, I don't think.
It kind of is.
Bobby Brown?
No, he didn't have one listed. I was hoping he would have someone good listed.
Tyler Ennis?
No, he's just T-Dot.
Eric Gordon?
Eric Gordon. It's Eric Gordon. Who has ever said, what? Like, could you imagine, like, Eric Gordon on, like, making a three and Kevin Harlan's, like, The Hobbit? I'd be like, what are you talking about?
I would pay top dollar to hear that on like 2K, or have that as like my player nickname or something.
I think they need to take all the ridiculous Basketball Reference nicknames and put them as things on 2K for sure.
It's called the
The last one.
Wow.
The last one's the most ridiculous. This one inspired the game, which I had never thought about before. But I was looking up this player's statistics, and I looked at this and I was like, "What? The Drunken Dribbler."
Is that Clint Capella?
No, that would be it's Corey Brewer for some reason.
Oh no, that totally makes sense. Actually, it really does. Have you ever watched his like 52-point game highlight?
I don't think I have. He was with the Wolves then.
He was with the Timberwolves. It's I like watch this like every month, and it fascinates me to this day. It's like him versus the Rockets, and it's just like a lot of layups and weird Corey Brewer baskets that just add up to 52.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. And he like makes like a buzzer beater. It's one of the funnier 50-point games, like 50-plus-point games that you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Because even the announcer's like, Corey Brewer has like 38 points right now. Have you been paying attention to this? Like, Corey, are you sure that this is... Stat guy, come here. Are you sure Corey Brewer has 38 points? Okay, this is weird.
Are we counting this? That's one of those where, like, some games it would just be nice. Like, why couldn't Bill Walton have been the one doing the commentary for that?
Yeah, he's like, and then they're like, are we sure this game happened?
Yeah, is this really like real?
It's like one of the shocking 50-point games. I think Terrence Ross has a 50-point game.
I want to say Mo Williams has one.
Mo Williams has one too. Yeah. And those are just the like the three like just funny ones the Corey Brewer one's hilarious.
I need to watch this. I don't think I've ever actually watched Corey Brewer's 50-point game.
Those are the two like NBA videos I watch, like I make an effort to watch like monthly, are the Corey Brewer 52-point game, because it's absolutely hilarious, and the fourth quarter of the 2002 Kings-Lakers series of Game 6.
Oh, wow.
The one that's like – so I had to show my friend this because my friend's all about college basketball, and then he talked about like – we looked up like the Tim Donaghy thing, and people were like, yeah, and I showed him the game that like people like point to when they're like, oh, I suspected this game was rigged. And I used to have it on VCR.
Oh.
Because I grew up without cable until like eighth or ninth grade. I grew up without cable. So what I would do in the VCR era, I would tape like these signature sporting events, and then I would like go to sleep because it would be like past my bedtime, and I wake up. So I have that game on VCR. I have the Steve Bartman incident on VCR.
Oh wow!
I have the All Star game that ended in a tie because Bud Seeley was like, "All right, that's enough." I have that on VCR. I had the Janet Jackson incident on VCR because I taped the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah,
and my mom was like, "No." she took that tape with the switch. I had no idea what had happened.
You have a vault.
I have a vault, and I think it's still in the basement next to some like orange Nickelodeon tapes and all that. But we don't have a VCR player, so you know.
Someday you'll have to do like a reclamation project. Like, what do I have down here?
Yeah, and the things are that some of these, like, you know how you could like record over some VCR tapes.
Yeah.
So some of the titles are like misleading. So it'll say like Yankees Red Sox, and you pop it in, and it's like National Championship College Football, and I'm just like disappointed. I also have the Boston Red Sox Yankees 2004 Game 7 where they came back from like the 3-0 deficit.
I have that
game on VCR. So I just have like a lot of sports history like on like a system that I can't watch them anymore. So
you have priceless memories locked away.
I thought VCR was like gonna be forever when I was 8.
Well, that's when they made everything tiny since then. That's the problem. Like,
yeah,
everything is just minuscule at this point.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the Pistons? Probably not too much. That's how I feel about the Bucks right now.
So for those of you that like don't know, I was like, all right, the Pistons won 44 games last year. 50 doesn't seem like that lofty, like that like much of a like a, that tougher of a goal to reach. And then now they're 21-24, and I'm like, never mind.
Yeah,
this is fine.
That's I didn't think they were going to – I thought the Pistons were going to win 52, so I contributed to that demise for you. The Bucks are currently 20-23 after being pretty good 5 games ago before they lost 5 in a row. The Pistons thing is weird to me, though, because they – like, it was so optimistic because they sort of survived while Reggie Jackson was out. It was always like, well, if they can just hang around without Reggie, you know, like 500-ish – Reggie comes back and it'll all be good. And then Reggie came back and it was like this weirdness. Like they lost games after he came back. And there was like some chemistry stuff. And then, what was it, 2 days ago we heard it potentially looking at switching Reggie Jackson for Ricky Rubio straight up. And you're like, who leaked that?
I was like, what happened? Like, I thought that something bad happened. But apparently I got this alert that said Sam Van Gundy told like Reggie, like, yo, that's not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank the Lord. But it's been weird, you know. When Reggie Jackson went down, I was like, all right, man, like 40 games.
Yeah.
I like Ish Smith, just not as a starter. Like, it's fine. I like Ish Smith in the second unit. I mean, it's not Steve Blake, the legendary backup point guard god, but Ishmael is fine. I just – this team is weird, man. And, like, it's tough to watch them sometimes. Like, so most of the teams that I watch now are pretty tough to watch. I watch the Bengals.
Oh, yeah. I always forget you're a Bengals fan.
I'm an insufferable Bengals fan. I'm a Pistons fan.
Were you happy the Steelers lost today?
Yeah, like I don't like the Ravens. I dislike the Ravens more, man, because I live in College Park, Maryland, so I live around a lot of Redskins fans and Ravens fans. Redskins fans are cool. I think that the name should be changed, but that's another topic entirely.
I'm with you, but yeah.
But Ravens fans, man, the Joe Flacco elite stuff, the year they won the Super Bowl, I have to hear that like every week.
Oh, that's
Oh, once
tough.
and one time I just got yelled at for I wore like a Bengals hoodie and I was just walking across the street and I had the right of way and the guy honked at me like twice and I was like, I totally have the right of way here. And he took his head out the car and he was like, man, F the Bengals. And I was just like, we're not
Wow.
even, I mean, it's not even the NFL season.
Our
Like
teams are done.
this was a Tuesday, like in the summer. Like it was just weird. I was like, there's no need for this hostility right now. I'm just trying to like get home. Like I was just like, oh, okay. And then my friend Justin, who is from outside of Columbus, Ohio, he goes to like the Bengals Ravens games, and he's told me some things. But no, I'm not gonna say that all Ravens fans are annoying or anything like that. I'm not like generalizing, but like I hang around a lot more Ravens fans than I do Steelers fans, so I'm gonna be
Right, so
more inclined
you bristle
to.
more to the Ravens fans.
Yeah, I'm gonna be more inclined to be annoyed by Ravens fans. So, yeah.
I have one Pistons question I want to ask you. Pretty much just one. Is are you comfortable? And this is something that Pistons people have just been ducking when I ask them, so I will not be offended if you duck this. Are you comfortable with Andre Drummond as the franchise player of the Detroit Pistons going forward, as like the number one guy?
Oh man.
See, nobody wants to get into this with me.
I kind of saw this coming. You know what? Sure. Yeah.
That's
I'm
very reassuring. Sure.
you know what? Yeah, sure. I mean, he's only 23. I'm gonna just go off the age factor. If he was like 26, 27, I'd be like, no. But I think that there's still room for improvement in some aspects. I mean, you're starting to see him like develop more of a post game than he was when his like first year in the league. Three throw percentage isn't that bad as it used to be. Like
Yeah,
it's 43. It's 43 now, and I mean, it's, hey, it could be worse. Like my thought process for this is it could be worse because we've seen worse. And I just think he's like a force of nature, but he hasn't been like chiseled out skill wise in terms of like certain like he can always be like better. Always be better. And we already paid the man, so
Yeah,
yeah, I
it's
think
just too late to
he's
change your mind now.
gotta go down with the ship that we signed away, so
Here's what worries me about Andre Drummond. I like his game. I always kind of have. Andre Drummond's Twitter game worries me.
really?
Andre Drummond tweets like it's a very emotional Twitter. Like, and it's very, like, it's like you look at him play and you know he's like this huge dude. I think it's fair to say he's probably at least close to being a star. I don't know what that means anymore. That's like something that gets argued about now. Like, who's a star? Is Kawhi a star? If Kawhi is not a star, I don't know who is a star.
I think Drummond was Drummond an all-star a couple. I think he's been an
Did he?
all-star.
He might have gotten an all star. Either
I
way,
mean, I'll
he's
check.
a
I'll look.
noteworthy player. He is a one time all star, and he was an all
Yeah.
NBA player last year. So yeah, we'll call him a star. And he'll tweet things like this, like very like in his feelings tweets about I don't even know what, and like retweets a lot of stuff. And I'm just like I love when players are on social media. Like, don't get me wrong, Joel Embiid this year has been great. Aside from calling Milwaukee a bad word, I don't. It's not that bad, but I'm trying not to curse on the pod anymore. But
That's fair. That's fair.
he threw a shot at my city, but
Okay.
I still ride with Joel Embiid. I like that though. I like when I'm not one of these, like old white people, like no Twitter, only playbook. I don't trust the way he tweets. I'm like, come on, Andre Drummond, like get KG in here to teach you post moves and ferocity. Like, both things are important.
Yeah, I think that, well, I don't mind his Twitter. I'm, like, going through his Twitter right now. Like, but it's mostly, like, filled with, like, Andre Drummond NBA vote. Like, all those.
Oh, yeah, the All-Star took over.
Probably. All those tweets, of course. But, hey, man, I like when, I love that the NBA is a league that takes, that doesn't censor its social media that much.
Oh,
you know,
it's yeah, like, you can't imagine some of this stuff in the NFL.
Oh, no, you can't. And it's real. I think the NFL is just missing, like, certain layups, you know. It's just like, why can't we share GIFs and Vines? Like, that kind of brings more attention to your product. And, like, the weird thing about the NFL thing was, it was like even, like, the team social media accounts couldn't tweet their, like, own videos or something. It was something crazy. And I was just like, wow. That, like, me as a social media person, it's just like, wow, that's crazy. But I love how his, like, the interactiveness with, like, fans, and that's what, like, I think that's what, like, the best side of Twitter is about. And it's, like, all positive. It's not, like, him clapping back at, like, people that, like, are, like, oh, man, Andre Drummond, like, all the negative stuff about him, and then he's not like, well, I make millions.
Yeah,
like,
those are always lame tweets.
Those are, like, they're like, okay, we all know this, but yeah, I don't mind it. It's fun. I think it's fun.
Well, he's smart. He blocks with the swiftness. I know.
Oh, he does?
I'm not blocked by Andre Drummond. I do know people who are blocked by. If you talk a little bit too much sass to Andre Drummond, you won't get to do it again.
The only, like, I think the only major person I've been blocked by was Randy Edsall, the former coach of Maryland, because I completely deserved it. I kept, because Maryland went, like, 3-9, and I kept, like, making, like, crying Jordan memes and Photoshop Randy Edsall, and, yeah, blocked the swiftness. Like,
it happens. We've all taken that L before.
I didn't even know, because I don't think I ever, like, added him. I just, like, it was, like, a name. I think he, like, name searched and was like, oh.
Oh.
And, like, I'm kind of getting more, like, wary of that kind of side of Twitter. Like, all right. These guys see this stuff, too.
Yeah. Like, I've had those experiences, too. You have to be a little careful with exactly,
like,
you say.
Oh, it's way... Like, don't, because you can, like, take, like, you can click two or three tweets and, like, enter a terrible, awful, very bad side of Twitter. And I'm just more aware that, like, hey, I think Hannibal Buress said it best. He said it in a comedy special. He's like, hey, man, everything that y'all send goes right to my phone.
Yeah.
Like, he said that in a bit. And he's like, F you, Hannibal, right to my phone. Like, ding. And I was like, whoa. He has a point.
Yeah, I can't imagine the tweets these guys, like, just the volume.
I can't imagine, like, I have like 8,000 followers, like, around 8,400. I cannot imagine what it's like to have, like, 100,000, or even, like, being, like, Katy Perry, you know, that's, like, 70. Like, I would just have someone else run my Twitter account. I mean, and I think it's even worse for Instagram, because you just get all, like, those DMs from, like, weird fans and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If they're able to send DMs, I don't, like, go on Instagram that much, but, like, that's, like, the crazy part, and that's what I'm trying to, like, watch. Just, I'm trying to be, like, a good person on social media. I'm trying to, like, have these jokes, but I'm also trying not to like, be, like, absolutely nasty. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to be like. Like, nothing, like, I'm not trying to send anything, like, personal or, you know, like, Twitter's a ruthless place. And because I get, like, some of the mentions that I get are just, like.
You have haters?
No, I don't have hate. No, I don't have, like, haters. But, like, if I'll say something and someone, like, I don't, like, I get, like, a couple of Twitter eggs. And I'm just, like, okay, this is weird.
I didn't
think what I was saying had that profound of an impact on your well-being to comment on it. But one time I just, like, went after, like, I said Eminem, because I like Eminem, but, like, some of the like
he's,
some
he's
of the
corny
songs,
now. He's corny yeah. now. He's past that threshold.
Some of the songs that like Eminem's recently released, I'm like, I just don't feel. So I tweeted something about like him saying like Chuck Norris or like a Stegosaurus or something like that. And dude, Eminem fans like came in my mentions, bruh. It was just weird. Like I got like a couple like I got a couple kill yourselves, and I was like, whoa, I just tweeted about Stegosauruses. You're tweeting it. You're just like taking a whole nother level.
Yes. Like, I forget what I wrote about, but I read at this site called Hoops Habit about like general NBA right. non-Bucks. And I wrote an article. It was probably like I wrote like quote unquote problems with the Warriors because no one's perfect. I think it was that one. It might have been a different one. And like this guy was like calling me like a white devil and telling me like society was gonna fall. And I was like,
whoa.
maybe I'm a white devil, but like I don't see why that would come out in this particular article. Like I don't know where that comes from here. Like yeah. it was like against the site, the entire site too, and I was like, like, this has no racial overtones or undertones or any sort of tones. Like, this is just an article about basketball. So I don't take those things seriously anymore. Because I've gotten, yeah. I used to be on Reddit, and it's way worse on Reddit. Like, people on Reddit.
I've heard. And I've had experience, like, working with big Twitter accounts, you know. Like, I interned at DC United after junior, and then when I worked at the Undefeated, I like live tweeted a couple like TV shows and stuff. But you see like the wave of just like mentions, and I feel like people don't know that like when you're tweeting at like a big brand or something, some person that has nothing to do with whatever you're mad at
is reading it,
like the one
dealing with
it.
Yeah.
So if you're ever tweeting, let's say if you ever tweet about like Arby's, someone, not the person that made your terrible sandwich, is not the one reading the mentions. Like yeah. I feel like people need to understand that and realize that when you send something to like a big brand or a big newspaper or a big website or organization, that the person that you normally like have like a problem with or think can fix the problem can't.
Yeah,
like they're reading it and they're like, I don't know what to tell you. I did not make your roast beef sandwich.
It's like, always like, sorry, like DM and let's talk about it. Like that's all they can really
yeah,
say.
Like
you can't solve the problem like over a reply.
Yeah, they can't be like, oh, here's a, you want me to come make you another roast beef sandwich? I mean,
DM me your address. I'll come make you one. Like, no, there's only so much you can do. Yeah. I feel like social media, like people are the new, like people who work for like customer support, like over the phone. Like you just have to deal with all these like hordes of people who are mad at like Dell or Xbox Live and now are taking it out on you because you represent that company, even though, you know, you didn't make their online service terrible or your computer not work or whatever, but it's your fault now.
Yeah, and you got to, like, keep that, like, in mind. And the thing is that those people can't, like, they can't mute the mentions because, like, what if they actually, like, tweeted something, like, that shouldn't be tweeted? And then you, like, won't know if you, like, block out, like, certain notification words or something like that. So those people, like, have to, like, read them.
Yeah, you have to see everything. That's why it's
a
crazy world. It's a whole new world out here in the digital
space. It really is. Yeah.
I like how we got all over with this podcast. This has been fun.
Hey man, I like to just talk about mostly like I can talk about mostly anything. I love just going around in topics. This has basically like been my Twitter account in a podcast.
I was going to say this is the perfect podcast for you cuz there's almost no structure. You want to hit me with your plugs? Here's a structured part. Where can people find you on social media? Where is your work? Where's your stuff?
All right. So my stuff right now, my Twitter is at Kofi Yeboah, KofieYeboah. And that is for Twitter. I mean, if you want to follow me on Instagram, that's fine. And then I play a PlayStation 4, so if you want to like play video games with me or something, or Snapchat. My Snapchat is Kofi Kofi, and also that's my Twitch. So I also like live stream certain games and like 2K and stuff like that. And if you ever wanna email me, it's kofi.yeboah@sbnation.com. So
those are good plugs. We'll have to play 2K sometime on PS4. You'll wreck me.
I don't know, man. I think that I'm good because like, but the people I play online, because I'm at like the there's like a level pool if you play online.
Yeah.
I'm like at the like NBA level right now, but I've played like so many people that are just terrible at 2K, and then like I'll play like one of my friends that has been good at the game since like 2K like 8,
right?
And they just adapt to like whatever year it is, and they're like, oh, all right. So it'll take them like 2 minutes, and then they'll just beat me,
right?
But it'll be close. It'll be a close game. So I mean, whenever I play my friends, like. But so I have no idea really how good I am. All I know is that I try to play with like every team possible, except for the Warriors. Playing online against people against the Warriors are just,
that's dumb. You shouldn't do that.
The Warriors are, it's an annoying team to face. The Warriors and then the Knicks now.
Let's go to Porzingis.
What people on the Knicks do is either just shoot a lot with Melo, go to the hole with Rose. I had a player that – I played against a player that took like 23 layups with Derrick Rose and made like 5 of them.
That's,
and I was like,
very realistic.
And I was shocked. I was like, now it's the Jazz. So he was like trying to go
– oh, no.
Like he had like,
oh, no.
So he had like 17 layups going up against Gobert, and I was like, wow, what are you doing?
You can't.
And there are some people that play online that you can tell play on like rookie, you know, like I play on Hall of Fame when I play with other people, and then when I play like computer, I play on superstar, so I don't like lose by 50.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, online's weird. So there's not really a way to gauge how like good you are, and especially when you have like the My Player and the My Park, because people like buy VC and are like instantly 99.
Yeah, and they're like 10, rating. They're like 20 feet tall. I like playing My Park, and I'm the only one. Here's my Park struggle is that like I try to be like a role player and pass the ball a lot because my player is a point forward, so like I get a lot of assists and everything. And obviously, if I play like the computer games, I take like 50 shots a game because why would I not? I love Michael B. Jordan, but it's not really him, so it doesn't matter. And when I play online, I try to not take so many shots because, like you said, everyone else is a 99. I'm like a legit like 89, so I'm good. I'm not terrible, but I'm not those guys.
Yeah.
My struggle is I'm always the only white player, so everyone assumes I can shoot, and my guy's what? Not that good of a shooter because he's kind of tall. So
can you play with the mic?
No, I can't. I definitely can't. I can't.
You might need to do that if like
just let them know like, hey, by the way, I'm not Steph Curry. I'm just good at, I'm okay at everything. I'm not a sharpshooter.
When I play in the pro-am, I've learned that playing with the mic is infinitely way more helpful than just like playing in silence, because I remember one game that like it was just like one of the rare occurrences where I played one game and all 5 players like had our mics and we were talking, we were communicating. We went by like 25, most fun I ever played like in pro-am.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fun. But then you like get those games where like everyone's silent, and then like I get like overlooked in the pro-am because I'm 6 foot.
Yeah.
Like I'm 6 foot, and people are like, what? And everyone else is like 6'5", 6'9", and then they have like the double sleeve and the tattoos and everything like that.
Afro.
Yeah, all the fancy stuff. And I'm like, I'm just trying to play basketball here.
I'm just trying to make the extra pass, man.
I'm like the passing point guard. But it's like sometimes like whenever I like don't play, I'm not assigned the point guard position, it's like not a fun game for me.
Yeah.
Because then those people like don't pass the ball.
Yeah, I like to consider myself like the less talented, never gets the ball on pro-am or whatever. Gordon Hayward. Like, I'm not a knockdown shooter. I'm more of a playmaker. No one gives me the chance to, but it's whatever.
Also, I can't get on the My Park court because, you know, like if you get cut if you like you get cut by people that have like squads and stuff. So yeah. I like will be there for 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. So yeah.
Okay, let's do the other half of the outro. I'll do my plugs real quick. You can find me on Twitter at Ty Windisch, TiWindisch. Don't worry about the other social media. I'm good at Twitter. My other social media game is severely lacking. So just worry about Twitter. you can find me at Behind the Buck Pass and HoopsHabit.com. I write there. You can find this podcast on iTunes. Please rate and review and whatever the word is, subscribe. Like I have like two reviews and people tell me it's good over Twitter, which is great. Please do that. But let me get these reviews so more people can listen to this goodness. Also on AlmightyBaller.com, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Thank you, Joey Burbs, for doing the intro and outro music to this podcast. His new song, Conversations, is dope, featuring Khan. I think it's pronounced Khan, K-A-A-N. It's got a bunch of views. It's really cool. Check that out. I think that's all of my plugs. Thank you for listening. Kofi, thank you for coming on Time Out with Ty.
Hey, man. It was a pleasure. It was fun. This was a fun hour plus. Yeah, this was really fun. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Glad to be on.
Hopefully you'll come back before you get a little too big for the show.
Oh, psh. come on. I'll come back, definitely. Sounds... Oh, it's only if your fans want me back. If they're like, wow, this Kofi dude is absolutely trash, I'll be like, all right, I'll back off. This is I understand. I get it.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you later, my man.
Hey, man. See you around.